sightseeing helicopter is down in New York's East River. Flight Design picks an engine for the C-4. And AMR weathers a storm that batters its stock. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 5th, 2011. Officials are reporting one fatality in yesterday's accident involving a Bell 206 helicopter that went down in New York City's East River yesterday afternoon. NBC News reported last night the pilot managed to get himself to shore. Rescue divers pulled three passengers from the water, but one woman didn't make it out of the aircraft. Her body was reportedly recovered after about an hour from a depth of about 50 feet on the river bottom. Witnesses say the helicopter apparently had some sort of malfunction just after takeoff, started spinning, and never did get higher than about 25 feet before going down. ABC News identified the woman fatally injured as Sonia Mara Nicholson, who had reportedly been celebrating her birthday. The other passengers were identified as her mother and stepfather, and her partner, Helen Tomasky. The NTSB is on scene. Flight Design, best known in the U.S. as the delivery volume leader in the LSA segment, has announced an engine selection for its new four-place C-4 composite airplane. The gasoline-powered version of the plane will feature the Continental IO-360AF, as in alternative fuels. Unlike the four-cylinder Lycoming power plant of similar displacement, the Continental has six cylinders. The engine's rated at up to 210 horsepower in other aircraft, but will be detuned for a rating of 180 horsepower at just 2,550 RPM in the C-4 for lower noise and longer life. It features a 2,000-hour TBO, and Flight Design says the alternative fuel capability was an important consideration, given the dubious future for leaded avgas. Flight Design has promised there will also be a diesel option, but says that engine selection will be announced later. The company is planning first flights of the C-4 prototype in 2012, with certification and the start of deliveries later in the year, or in 2013. American Airlines stockholders suffered a perfect storm on Monday. Shares in AMR fell as much as 40% on the New York Stock Exchange during the day, triggered an emergency suspension of trading in the stock seven times, and ended up closing down 33% at $1.98. That's the first time since 2003 the stock finished a day below $2. A statement on Monday from IATA Director General Tony Tyler got things rolling. Quote, "The industry has shifted gears downward. The pace of growth in passenger markets has dipped, and the freight business is now shrinking at a faster pace. With business and consumer confidence continuing to slump globally, there is not a lot of optimism for improved conditions anytime soon," unquote. Many airline stocks responded by finishing the day down in double digits, but AMR's problems were compounded by recent speculation that the company may be forced to declare bankruptcy. American's direct competitors have all used bankruptcy in recent years to emerge with cost structures lower than those of AMR. And while those competitors were profitable in the second quarter, American lost $268 million. AMR reports it has about $4 billion in cash available, so there's no reason to believe the company will be forced into a bankruptcy immediately. AMR recently spun off its American Eagle regional subsidiary and announced a massive order for 460 new airliners, split between Boeing and Airbus, to replace its older planes and lower its operating costs. The company had no official comment on the stock's free fall Monday other than to say, quote, "There is no company-driven news that has caused the volatility in AMR shares today," unquote. The low prices on Monday triggered some buying by bargain hunters. Most airlines were up yesterday, and AMR closed up about 20% at $2.37. The Allied Pilots Association, the union representing pilots at American, felt the need to respond to rumors within the investment community that a surge in pilot retirements might be based on inside information of an imminent bankruptcy. In its statement, the union said many pilots delayed retirement in response to a change in the FAA's mandatory retirement age from 60 to 65, and those pilots are now looking at the effect of overall stock prices on their portfolios. The statement explains in part, quote, "When pilots age 60 and older retire, a portion of their pension is based in part on a 60-day look back. As an example, pilots who retired on September 30th secured the pension unit value that was in effect on July 31st, before the bulk of the stock market's decline. APA's rank-and-file members are not privy to inside financial information. Our advisors have, in fact, indicated that the airline does not face any immediate liquidity crisis and possesses respectable cash reserves, unquote. In a few days, FAA employees who were temporarily furloughed in July, when Congress left the agency unfunded for a few days, will get their back pay. New Jersey Congressman Frank Lobiondo, who has been trying to get a bill passed to provide the pay, says he has been informed that Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood can authorize the back pay by administrative order without a new law. Lobiondo says the pay will show up in mid-October paychecks. Still ahead, TSA finally may be moving toward risk-based security. NASA is recruiting for the class of 2012. And is Winnipeg really that dangerous? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Paul Plack. The city of Winnipeg, Manitoba, has an admittedly high rate of violent crime, at least by Canadian standards, but many are still puzzled by a decision by Air Canada to move its crews from downtown to hotels near the airport during layovers. The biggest question is, what's changed lately to warrant this precaution? In a memo to pilots and cabin crews, Captain Jeff Dennis, Air Canada's manager of flying operations, said, in part, quote, "In response to several reports indicating questionable safety in the area surrounding the Radisson Hotel in downtown Winnipeg, a security assessment was conducted. Recent environmental issues have forced approximately 1,000 displaced people from rural Manitoba to numerous hotels in the downtown area. Instances of public intoxication resulting in several downtown locations being susceptible to crimes of violence and opportunity have been observed by local police. For now, we have arranged to have crews layover at the Sandman Hotel and Suites. We will certainly revisit the downtown area once the present situation improves. Authorities anticipate displaced people to be an issue for another 12 months, unquote. The Sandman is an airport hotel. Air Canada's union contract requires that crews with 16 hours or more off be put up at downtown hotels, where choices in lodging, food, and entertainment are more varied. Michael Weinrath, chair of the Justice Department at the University of Winnipeg, sounds puzzled at the timing in comments to CBC News. Quote, "If you look at the statistics, yes, we do have a very high violent crime rate, but it actually hasn't changed very much and it's gone down in a few areas in recent years," unquote. Winnipeg Mayor Sam Katz says he's disappointed at this latest PR challenge to his downtown core's resurgence and wonders if there's an ulterior motive. He tells CBC, quote, "For all I know, this could be about cost savings, but I certainly would like to know the truth because two key reasons given have already been proven false," unquote. The Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs Grand Chief Derek Nepinak thinks he knows what that motive is and calls it surprising and racist. About 10% of those 1,000 displaced people mentioned in the memo are First Nations people, or what are called American Indians in the U.S. Ironically, Air Canada Park is in the same downtown neighborhood. Paul Strachan, president of the Air Canada Pilots Association, tells the Winnipeg Free Press, quote, "We don't agree with Air Canada's assessment of the entire Winnipeg downtown being unsafe for crews. We have our headquarters downtown, and people make it there and back home okay," unquote. Some reader comments on this story in the Winnipeg Free Press reflect the opinion that downtown Winnipeg really is a scary place, and that the problem continues in part because the city administration is in denial. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says it will purchase and test new technologies designed to improve detection of altered or fraudulent passenger identification credentials in boarding passes in order to further enhance travel safety. The technology is known as CAT-BPSS, That's short for Credential Authentication Technology Boarding Pass Scanning Systems. Yeah, I know, all the good short acronyms are gone. TSA says it will eventually replace the current procedure used by security officers to verify fraudulent or altered documents. It will be incorporated into TSA's testing of a risk-based approach to security that's slated to begin at 4 airports in the near future. The award of about $3.2 million will include the purchase of 30 systems from 3 different vendors. TSA began testing travel document authentication technology at the TSA Systems Integration Facility in July. If you thought the end of NASA's Space Shuttle program would mean an end to recruiting astronauts, you'd be mistaken. Early next month, the agency will officially seek applicants for its next class of astronaut candidates who will support long-duration missions to the International Space Station and future deep space exploration activities. A bachelor's degree in engineering, science, or math, and 3 years of relevant professional experience are required in order to be considered. Typically, successful applicants have significant qualifications in engineering or science, or extensive experience flying high-performance jet aircraft. After applicant interviews and evaluations, NASA expects to announce the final selections in 2013, with training to begin in August of that year. You can get details at nasa.gov. A 5-year-old girl who had wandered away from her family's campsite in Northern California was located by a helicopter search and rescue team in part because of her glow-in-the-dark necklace. The family was camping in Huddard Park in San Mateo County when the girl became separated from her parents. They called 911 about 8 p.m. Pacific time when they were unable to find her on their own. KNTV reports a CHP helicopter crew located the girl about 11:30 p.m. in a gorge about a mile from her family's camp. The pilot said the glow stick necklace and a flashlight the girl was carrying helped them spot her from the air. She was returned to her family cold and scared, but unhurt. And finally today, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel Monday called together a summit of 5 aviation executives whose operations have impact on the economy of the Windy City. While no specific outcomes were discussed afterward by those present, all praised the mayor for his appreciation for the importance of the aviation industry and deemed the gathering productive. The meeting included Jeff Smisek, president and CEO of United Airlines, Bob Redding, executive VP of operations for American Airlines, Jim McNerney, chairman, president, and CEO of Boeing, David Storch, CEO of AAR, and Ron Ricks, executive VP of Southwest Airlines. The meeting is reported to have lasted about an hour, and observers suggest the agenda may have included the role of airlines in funding airport improvements, the possible privatization of Midway Airport, and other potentially contentious issues. None of the executives spoke to the media afterward. The Chicago Sun-Times reports the meeting was originally suggested by Smisek. WLS-TV reports all of the companies in attendance pledged to explore expanding job training programs in Chicago. I have one question. Where was Chicago's concern for aviation's economic contribution when Mayor Richard Daley was bulldozing Meigs Field in the middle of the night? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.